On today's Compassion Radio.
You could tell from the emotional responses that something dramatic had happened. It hit me big time. Adults were having this kind of a reaction to something. Well, then the announcement was made that Nate and the other men, we had been praying for them at our home because our Baptist Mission Board was involved in helping them. All five of them had been killed.
Cher, we were just talking last week about not having enough time in front of the microphone together, and here we are this week because something popped up. It was a story of somebody that the church around the world learned to love dearly. His passing made a real big ripple out there this past week, but not because he was somebody who was famous in the sense that they were leading a big ministry that was being followed by thousands in America or was listened to on the radio, but because of the life he lived and who brought the gospel to him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about Min Kai and his friends, and how we got involved with this story.
Well, Bram, I got an email from Steve Saint this last week, and it hit such a tender place in my heart because of my background with the story that I immediately posted it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I never expected the response that we got. I thought because this particular story had started so long ago that most people on Facebook would be too young to even know about it.
Yeah.
The story, of course, is about Min Kai, who was one of the, originally we called them the Auca Indians, who are now known as the Wodani, which is the more precise term for their particular tribe.
Because that's what they call themselves, Auca. That was one of their derogatories for being so violent. They were known for being vicious people.
They were.
And so it's kind of like calling your neighbors the Thumpers or something. I mean, these people are just known for getting in fights all the time. That's the nickname that people around them have given them. So when they finally met them and got to know them, they identified themselves as Wodani.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me a little bit more about your experience with them, even before you knew Norm and knew the history of, and what became Compassion Radio. You were a little girl in America, just like other evangelical kids growing up.
Well, my parents and I had gone to Bethel College, it was called at that time, in Minnesota for a missions conference. Mm. I tagged along because I was the only child and they didn't have anybody to leave me with. And I was blessed to be able to get to go to a lot of things that kids wouldn't normally get to go to. But during one of the meetings, there was suddenly a big stir and a flurry on the platform of activity. And you could tell from the emotional responses that something dramatic had happened. I think I was probably 9 or 10 years old. So it hit me big time when adults were having this kind of a reaction to something.
Yeah.
Well, then the announcement was made that five missionaries, and we had known about these five men and the fact that they were going to go into South America to a particular tribe to try to make friends. We had been praying for them at our home because our Baptist Mission Board was involved in helping them. So knowing about Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and the other men, it had already been part of my prayer life. The announcement was made then that all five of them had been killed. They had prepped their trip in there by flying around the area so that the natives could see the plane, get used to the plane. They had been dropping down gifts to them in a bucket hooked to a rope, and Nate Saint had developed a way of being able to fly in a circle so that the bucket would lower straight down gently, and the people could come and look in the bucket and take the things that they were offering. Well, after several trips and seeming to have garnered interest from these people, they finally made the big plunge to go and land the plane.
I recall reading in that first edition of Through Gates of Splendor, which was the first big account that was written about them from the inside. Elizabeth Elliot became an international celebrity in one regard and a minister to missionaries world over because of that. The intrigue for those of us in the States who knew about the story and that generation was that there was such ingenuity that Nate and the rest of the crew were coming up with new forms and systems of reaching out cross-culturally that had never been done before.
Mm-hmm. And these five young men, all with young families, had all come to a calling.
Yeah, a mutual calling.
Right, to this particular thing. They were discouraged at every turn from doing this.
Yeah.
There were warnings against doing this. but they simply couldn't go against what they believed God was calling them to do.
And they all found each other on the way to that place.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, when this tragedy happened, there was great question about, well, did God call them to do this? Yeah. Why would he sacrifice his servants this way?
And not a few people were pretty bold in calling them fools for doing mm-hmm. it within the church. It's kind of like dissing the dead. I mean, it was just something about it was so cruel, but it seemed to be this undercurrent that was happening at the time where everything has to work out right or it's not blessed of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big debate theologically about that, which is still, I think, in some ways raging on today. And the idea of their sacrifice was noble in one regard, but it also seemed ridiculously a waste of human talent. They could have gone slower. They could have. But for some reason, there seemed to be such an urgency to get the gospel in at the risk of their own lives that people didn't understand at the time. But I got to think about those families.
Mm-hmm.
Five dads dead. Every one of them had children, young children. And all these wives were now left as widows. It's not an easy place to be or an easy story to tell.
No, it wasn't. And this was not just a Christian story.
Mm.
Their story was on the cover of Life magazine.
Yes, it was.
With pictures of the slaughter, pictures of the plane. It was a major national story. And as you said, a great deal of controversy about whether this was of the Lord or not.
I understand, too, that there were many Christians who had supported the mission, praying heavily that the people would not receive a recompense from the government that was out of proportion, that they were an unreached, undeveloped tribe, and they mm-hmm. responded in a way and under a spirit the gospel had not broken through yet. But they did not want to see these people punished and murdered by the government because of these men's lives being lost.
Mm-hmm. Jim Elliot, in particular, had written a great deal about that before they went, that no matter what happened, he believed that the Lord was in it and that the Lord would do good through it. Well, of course, jumping ahead in the story just briefly, and we'll come back to it, the wives went back to that area after a few years. And because they came and loved the people, and the people knew that they were connected to the men that they had killed, that tribe eventually was almost completely won to the Lord through the love and the testimony of the families that went back.
The takeaway for me and my generation is this. We know that the men were missionaries being sent out to go accomplish a mission. They sacrificed their lives for those people, like Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the women, their wives, who won them to Jesus.
And it was their wives who took up the mantle. I think the people thought the men were crazy for going in.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get support
yeah.
to go back as missionaries.
And they were thought doubly fools for bringing their children
the
with
children.
Them. To those murderers, those others, those horrible non-human people. That was the attitude being poured out against these women now who were following Jesus. But what happened?
Jesus' love always conquers all. Honestly, a great deal of it was the children playing with the Wadawni children that began to open up hearts and open up the women's hearts in the tribe. The question that was asked that haunts me constantly, Bram, was, once they knew about God, once they knew about the Bible, which they called God's markings,
mm-hmm.
they asked the question, how long did you have God's markings before you brought them to us?
Yeah.
Sorry, but that I had a situation in my life once where I led a friend to the Lord, and the question she asked me after she had prayed was, why didn't you ask me before? And I had known her for 3 or 4 years. And I had talked about Jesus in my life. I had talked about what my faith meant to me, but I had never asked her if she would like to receive the Lord. And her question to me of, why didn't you ask me before, haunts me the same way this is. How long did we have the Lord's word before we took it to these people?
Friends, the gospel has always been a very personal story, because if it's real, it's being written on our hearts. We'll be back in a moment to share more about the powerful faith that lived in the hearts of Steve Saint and the new spiritual father he found in the man who murdered his dad. Please know that we deeply appreciate and value you. You, your prayers, your support, and friendship, especially in immensely challenging times like these, are what keeps us going. Thank you. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
I led a friend to the Lord, and the question she asked me after she had prayed was, "Why didn't you ask me before?" And I had known her for 3 or 4 years. And I had talked about Jesus in my life. I had talked about what my faith meant to me, but I had never asked her if she would like to receive the Lord. And her question to me of, "Why didn't you ask me before?" haunts me the same way this is. How long did we have the Lord's word before we took it to these people? How many other people are there in the world that are waiting to ask that same question?
We need to be very careful here because this is not a shame-based question.
No.
And there are plenty of people in the church that have been trained to be shamed.
Oh.
And I don't want to arrive at a point where we say, we were wrong for not doing something. You were very right for being obedient to God's leading you to tell this friend of yours about Jesus. But it goes to the question of the longing, that we don't really believe a lot of the time that people want to hear the good news. Maybe because it's not been such good news to us, it's been part of a religious edifice in our life that we have to kind of dance around rather than good news that changes from the inside out. And we bear that burden of walking with a religion for many years. God's inviting us into the same kind of wow and awe that the Wadani discovered and realizing that God wrote markings for them.
The thing that always intrigues me in any place in the world where the scriptures have not gone is that people have already found some kind of a God to worship. We all have that desire in us to know what it's all about, to know what is bigger, what is greater, what is the purpose.
Yeah.
And if we don't know about our Savior, we create something else in an attempt. Now, I'll be really controversial here and say that I believe some of those people who've never heard will be with us in heaven because God tells us, if you search for me with all your heart, I will find you. You will be mine.
Yeah.
If they've never heard, but they've had this great desire in their heart to find God, I believe that he will honor much of that. But this story has been around now since 55?
Middle part of the 50s, yes.
I'm just so thrilled that it has touched such a soft place in people's heart still today. Now, I think that the film had a great deal to do with that. And if
yes.
you saw The End of the Spear, or if you haven't, you can get it. I know you can get it on Amazon. There are many places where you could find it to see this whole story acted out. And you will be so blessed by it. But there's also the book by the same name, The End of the Spear. And there's also the original book, Through Gates of Splendor, all available. And I just challenge you to read it if you've never have, because it's such a thrilling story.
It's a simple story, and it's a thriller at the same time. If you did not know the history that went behind this, it would be a page-turner. What's going to happen at the end? Will they survive this or will they not? And if they don't, what happens next? But it is always, I think, going to be a thriller story in God's book.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was happy to record every step of the way here. And it reminds me again how important it is that we lay down on paper, virtual as it is these days, the stories of life change. The ones that were changed to go do something that seemed ridiculous to the world but were part of God's economy and redeeming this planet. The stories of those who were reached and changed and how things changed because of the people who were changed. We need to be recording those things. And of course, friends, that means that I'm going to say something about Compassion Radio as being one of those elements. We are simply a tool in that bigger narrative that God is writing about his kingdom, his time, his place on this earth that we happen to experience. We can't record the stories that happened back in the first century. Luke and the epistle writers did all that for us. We have many of the saints across the centuries who recorded what the people thought and prayed and believed and struggled with through the centuries. We are no different in our responsibility, but we seem to be a lot different in our willingness to step up and say, this is important to put down for all generations to see and to judge later. How did we do in following God's calling, his command to reach the world, to bring those markings of God to someone as soon as possible? how did we measure up in those things? That is the big question that the next generation after us is going to be asking. I'm sure of that. We know there's a big inflection point happening in our culture right now. We have many, many people are wondering, what's the new normal going to be? I don't care if there's a new normal. I care if there's a profound change in growth in our willingness to say, oh, God's got this. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I need to ask him for what he wants, because I think he promised that if we did things his way and we asked him what he wanted us to do, that he would take care of the details. I want to live like that. And this ministry states that as a principle and a purpose, to really trust that God will take care of not just our needs, but the plan of action for how to reach out for the goals that God's put on our hearts, helping ministries around the world with their needs, to encourage missionaries on the field to bring their stories back to us, to encourage our people at home. I know God will take care of those details if we'll be obedient to do the thing he's called us to do.
Well, Bram, we're going to work ourselves out of time here, and there's some things that we really want to do. We want to play for you some of Steve Saint's words, and I would like to read at least a good portion of what Steve wrote in his announcement, but I want to tie in something else of how we connect with this story. The other side of my family here, Norm's not here to tell his part of the story, but it's a big connection. When Nate was still single, he was just learning to fly. He had built his own plane and kept revising it because he had this idea in his mind and he had to have a plane that would do exactly what he was dreaming about. While he was building this plane, he fell in love with a young nurse. The name of that nurse was Marge. And Marge went to Wilbur Nelson's church. So while they were dating, Nate Saint became quite a regular member of Wilbur Nelson's church. Now, for any of you that are new listeners to the program, Compassion Radio is an outgrowth of the ministry that Wilbur Nelson began in 1944 as the Morning Chapel Hour.
Which means we're now in our 76th year of a continuous radio ministry.
Right. Yeah. Norm took over the ministry eventually, and now we're here. I'm still here, and Bram has taken over. Norm, as a young high school boy, was entranced with Nate. He was just larger than life, good-looking, outgoing, and he took a liking to Norm. So he started taking him out with him to the airfield, and Norm flew with him as he tried different maneuvers, as he fine-tuned the plane. Norm just worshipped at his feet. Well, Marge and Nate got married and went off to Bible school after she finished her nurse's training. From there, this whole thing developed with all five of the guys, and they went off to the field. Well, after they were killed, Wilbur Nelson had the memorial service from Nate at his church. And at the end of the service, he gave an invitation for anyone to come forward who would like to dedicate their lives to missionary service as the five guys had done. And Norm, as a high school, I think a junior, went forward and dedicated his life. Now, Norm had been kind of a rebel in high school. And he was...
One of those cautionary tales of being a pastor's kid.
Exactly. Yeah. He was not looking at the ministry as a future career for himself. But he was so touched by everything that had gone on in Nate's life and what they had given their lives for that he dedicated his life to full-time missionary service. Mm. Now, it took a while before he was able to do the missionary part of it. But by the time he got to grad school, he was already spending his summers in missionary service. He never, ever lost that calling. Mm. And because Marge came home to Wilbur Nelson's church, and they were very involved in helping her through all of that, there's a very strong tie from this family to the Nelson family. From both of those angles, when I saw this story come through, it just really ripped my heart, and I wanted everybody to know, even if they didn't know about the situation. But I was so thrilled at the comments that came in of all the people that had either heard him speak as he was brought to the United States several times to speak with Steve Saint or had seen the film. I'm just thrilled that that story is still alive and is still not just a story to be told, but it is a story that's moving hearts and changing lives.
Even now. Mm-hmm. We'll end with Steve Saint's words from an earlier recording back in the 90s about his experience in Ecuador.
And very touching, because he's talking about the plane that we are so connected with.
Once in a while it hits me. I guess probably more while we've been digging up the plane than any other time. Because it's a physical reminder that that Dad really was there, that that was his plane, or that was the plane that he was flying, that he was actually working the controls. Bill said that we walked over to the wreckage and the joystick that you controlled the elevator and the ailerons with, grabbed onto that and said, you know, the last person that touched this stick was your dad. And that's kind of emotional. I guess probably more now even than when I was younger, I wish I knew my dad. But I guess, too, in ways I know him pretty well, just by knowing these people. And I really care for the Waurani. He didn't know them like I know them, but I think I sense what he would have felt, and some of the reason that he wanted to come here, so that these people, who really are fun-loving people but lived in just stark terror of each other and of outsiders, the gospel really, I believe, is the only answer for them. And I feel when I'm here, and especially when we were pulling up parts of the plane, I guess I felt what my dad's passion was for the Indians here in the jungle, and to take the gospel to them. And not just that, but to care for them, too.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end.
Friends, that's just one of many wonderful highlights for this season from our special guest artist, Michael O'Brien. And you can get a copy of it today.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I know that we're all facing challenges we could not have imagined this year. We've challenged you during this time to cling to the one who gives peace, joy, and hope freely, because we know these things are in short supply these days. As you can imagine, the sudden change in circumstances has had an impact on our bottom line, too. Many of you are monthly supporters, and we are absolutely praying the Lord will continue to provide for you way above and beyond what you've committed to this ministry. I know others of you are just not sure you can count on having everything you need. Well, we're praying for you in your sense of need, too. I know that there are also those of you who know you're doing just fine in all practical ways, and yet you might still feel fear at what might be. Here's my challenge to you. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, lead the way. Whether it's at your church, with international missions, food banks, or through any of a dozen wonderful teaching and communications ministries like Compassion Radio. Please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. You are uniquely qualified in times like these to have a profound impact on the kingdom all around the world because you can give. I urge you not to let a day go by without asking the Lord what He would have you to do, how He would have you stretch your faith when others are doubting theirs. They need you, friends. We need you. And we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. We can't be here to encourage you each day without your vote of confidence. So give us that vote of confidence today by letting us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, compassionradio.com. God bless you, friends. We'll see you tomorrow.